they have pre-recorded material.
Da-dee-da-dee-da-da-da-da-da. Hello, my friends. I'd like you to play, Sean, Joe Biden when he was vice president. He said, well, one of the SARS, which one was it? Swine flu? Do we have that recording there?
I wouldn't go anywhere in confined places now.
We have a hypochondriac for president. A wimp. He wouldn't have gone into any confined place during the swine flu. I kept that recording, never imagining that such an incompetent crook would be president. And I simply kept it as an example of cowardice in leadership positions, of pathetic fear taking over a man. If this stands, what this president did yesterday, if this stands legally, it is very difficult to see America remaining a free country. President of the United States can tell nearly half this country, you must get a vaccination? What if the President of the United States said, if any of your workers has an abortion, you must fire them? People who are anti-abortion are more convinced that life will be taken than people who are even pro-vaccination. They fear that people will lose lives if some people are not vaccinated. But in the case of abortion, people know that a life is taken. Everybody knows that, except for people on the left who lie to themselves. I'm not even talking about the legality of abortion. I'm simply talking about what if a president on the other side said that? A worker who has killed a baby in the womb cannot work for you. Right, it sounds bizarre because it is bizarre. But it's never bizarre on the left. Nothing is bizarre. The only bizarre things are on the right. And by the way, I acknowledge it sounds bizarre. And I certainly wouldn't be for such a law. But I'm giving you an example from the right, which would be regarded as an unprecedented assault on liberty. And by the way, to a certain extent, it would be true. The amazing thing, among the amazing things, there are two outstandingly amazing things aside from the freedom issue. One is, if you're vaccinated, why the hell do you care if I am? That means you have such little faith in the vaccine that it is bizarre that you would push it. Okay, that's the most obvious problem with this type of mandate, that you want it done, even if it's even when you believe that it doesn't work. Then there is the issue of those who had COVID. Why would anybody who has the best possible immunity, natural immunity, be forced to take a vaccination? And then to claim you have science? Now, there are many other issues. Forcing children to take it is child abuse, pure, unadulterated child abuse. I want to read to you. Listen to this. From Israel, one of the most, two or three most vaccinated countries in the world. Israel confirmed cases July 4th to July 31st. Okay, that's this summer. It's going to blow your mind. Ages 20 to 29, fully vaccinated, who got confirmed cases. You with me? I'll read it to you. It's best to read it to you in percentages, the clearest. What percentage of fully vaccinated Israelis, 20 to 29, have confirmed cases of COVID? 77.2. Percentage of population that's fully vaccinated is 71.9. Percentage of cases fully vaccinated that have COVID, 30 to 39, 78.3. 40 to 49, 83.9. 50 to 59, 86%. 60 to 69, 92%. 70 to 79, 93%. Isn't that something? Of confirmed cases in Israel with COVID. That's the percentage of fully vaccinated. And by the way, just for the record, like in the, let's say, the 70 to 79 age group, 92.8% of Israelis of that age group are vaccinated, fully vaccinated. Piece in the Intelligencer, that's New York Magazine. It's not a right-wing source. Did you see this? Is the second shot giving young men a dangerous heart condition?
What date is it?
June 2.
Yeah, I think we reported it at the time.
An official Israeli report found a striking correlation between COVID-19 mRNA vaccinations and a spike in cases of a heart inflammation condition in young males, which appears likely to lead the country to revisit its recommendation that children receive two doses of the vaccine. The report found over 110 cases of myocarditis around the time of vaccination, 95 of which occurred following the second of Pfizer's two-dose regimen. This translates to a rate of roughly 1 in 50,000. However, most of the people who developed the heart condition were young men, with a particularly high incidence for those aged 16 to 24, putting their rate at around 1 in 5,000. These findings raise the likelihood of a causal link between the vaccine and myocarditis, states the report. This is in the most vaccinated country in the West that this report has come out. This is the most pro-vaccine country we know of. The findings raise the likelihood of a causal link between the vaccine and myocarditis, states the report presented by a committee that was appointed by the country's health ministry to investigate a possible connection between myocarditis and the vaccines. A detailed analysis at Hadassah Medical Center, which is Israel's most prestigious medical center, a major hospital serving the greater Jerusalem area, found that cases of myocarditis at the facility were 5 to 25 times the normal number over the same time span in previous years. Dror Merivach, the head of internal medicine and the COVID-19 ward at Hadassah, told Intelligencer. This potentially puts the rate as high as 1 in 3,000 to 1 in 6,000 vaccinated young men, he said. Mivorach, who also headed the National Committee to Investigate the Myocarditis Link, said that over a span of 3 months, the hospital saw 20 cases of myocarditis when it typically sees 4. 19 of the 20 cases were young males age 16 to 30. 18 of the 20 cases presented within 4 days of the second vaccine dose. The patients all had chest pain or difficulty breathing, ruling out that the condition was asymptomatic and caught inadvertently by general tests. Only 2 patients of the 20 had evidence of past infection, eliminating any correlation with COVID-19 itself rather than the vaccine. Mivorach, the Israeli physician, suggested that it's possible his committee found a seemingly definitive link, while the U.S. has not, because Israel is a small country, and it's easier within their system to find a signal faster. He predicts the CDC will change its assessment. I don't believe so, because the CDC is not a truth-telling organization. We'll be back in a moment. 1-8-PRAGER-776.
The Dennis Prager Show.
Hi, Dennis Prager here again with a message for anyone struggling with pain. Of course, I want you to know about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that tens of thousands are now taking every day. I take it every day. I like being out of pain. But I know you may be skeptical. I certainly was. Then I kept hearing about all the people, including my wife, who were no longer in pain. So I decided to give it a try. In fact, listen to Janice's story.
I was skeptical at first. But because of the pain that I was having when I would substitute teach and have to climb stairs, so I have lower back, hip, and even knee pain. And after about 3 weeks, I found that I could climb stairs pain-free. But it wasn't only pain-free. I could do it step over step without holding on the railing. I'm really happy. It makes me feel like I'm young again.
That's relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. The lies that pervade our society from the left are going to kill it, or can kill it. Let's put it that way. I don't make any predictions. United Airlines has gone full bore on this. Every employee must be vaccinated or they go on unpaid leave. So what if a third of their pilots say, okay, I'm going on unpaid leave? What's United going to do? Well, I guess they already have it. They'll just have more women and minorities as pilots.
Doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way? Does United? Doesn't work that way in your vision of excellence and safety. I think that United Airlines is less committed to safety than other airlines. And I'm United high level. I'm some silver, gold, platinum level, whatever it's called. They admitted it. They are not choosing people to be pilots based on competence, but based on race and gender. They said it. Half of their places will be for women and minorities, for pilots. That means we are not choosing people based on competence. So you're going to fly United at your risk. And if you want to support, look, I'm not saying I'm boycotting. I can't help it. I fly constantly. If I fly from L.A. to Houston, it's either United or a helicopter. It's pretty much the way it works. But I will try to avoid United. And those of you who have a choice, it's a thought. It's less safe. Safety is Americans' religion. Way, way, way ahead of Christianity or Judaism. For even most Christians and Jews, let alone for the nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, in our society. Right? Right. We are experiencing an unprecedented assault on liberty for no good reason. Once again, if you're vaccinated, why the hell do you care if I am? And why are you pushing people who had COVID and children into this? Now, I don't claim that, myocarditis?
Yeah.
I don't claim that this is a common result in young men. But it's happening at a greater, much greater rate than before, and only among those who get a second vaccine. So, since the chances of these eight young, healthy males dying of COVID is so minuscule, why would you do it? And are there long-term effects? I don't know. I don't claim there are. I don't know. Are they going to mandate a booster? What about a second booster? Oh, but this wimp is going to tell airports that if you don't walk in an airport with a mask, the fines will be doubled. Nothing would bring me greater joy than to see millions of Americans not wear masks at airports. It's a farce. Most people know it's a farce, but a lot of people don't. I wonder what percentage of Americans think it matters if you wear a completely permeable mask, which is what 99% of Americans wear. The ability to scare people is astonishing. Scare people into complete irrationality. I want you to know I am proud of the Republican Party. I want to read to you from the Daily Mail some of the reactions of Republicans. Republicans nationwide are tearing into President Joe Biden after he announced he'd use an emergency order to force businesses with 100 or more employees to mandate vaccines or weekly COVID testing. Forcing this and coercing people, I don't think, is the right decision. I'd imagine that you're going to see a lot of activity in the courts if they try to do that through an executive action, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said during a press conference. Arizona Representative Andy Biggs revealed he would try to block the measure in Congress. I will be introducing legislation to block the egregious assault on Americans' freedom and liberty, he wrote on Twitter. We must fight against these attempts to force vaccine mandates on the American people. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem appeared to threaten legal action against the Biden administration on Twitter. She was joined by fellow Republican Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, who wrote, I will pursue every legal option available to the state of Georgia to stop this blatantly unlawful overreach by the Biden administration. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, also a Republican, released a statement criticizing Biden over the announcement. President Biden's dictatorial approach is wrong, un-American, and will do far more harm than good. How many workers will be displaced? How many kids kept out of classrooms? How many businesses fined? Ducey wrote Thursday. Senator Ben Sasse, it's a pleasure to report something positive about Senator Sasse, released a scathing statement, which read, and I say that because to my great sadness, because I've met him, he was a sort of a never-Trumper, and for reasons that I think are completely irrational. Anyway, President Biden, he wrote, is so desperate to distract from his shameful, incompetent Afghanistan exit that he is saying crazy things and pushing constitutionally flawed executive orders. This is a cynical attempt to pick a fight and distract from the president's morally disgraceful decision to leave Afghanistan behind Taliban lines on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. This isn't how you beat COVID, but it is how you run a distraction campaign. It's gross, and the American people shouldn't fall for it. Bless you, Ben Sasse. Republican Representative Thomas Massie of Kentucky blasted Biden's order as unconstitutional. OSHA has no more authority to enforce this than CDC had to issue the eviction moratorium. Correct. 1-8-PRAGER-776.
The Dennis Prager Show.
Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and top picks on the best coins and bullion. As environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Grovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should too. Call Nick at AmFed Coin and Bullion to find out more. I've been friends with Nick for years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. That's a very big statement, by the way. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com, AmericanFederal.com. I have Larry Elder on the phone. Larry Elder is running for governor of California, and he will be the governor if the people of California vote to recall Gavin Newsom. And the thought that Gavin Newsom is governor to begin with is painful to me because he's so incompetent. Nevertheless, Larry Elder, I hear that the energy at your rallies, of course, I spoke at one of them, but you've got really big rallies, that the energy is analogous to a Trump energy.
I think that's right. Dennis, I have been overwhelmed by the enthusiasm. Men coming up to me crying, saying, thank you for saving California. Thank you for doing something about the crime. Thank you for doing something about the rise of homelessness. Thank you for doing something about the way this man shut down the state to the point, Dennis, where a third of all small businesses are now gone forever, many of which were owned by Black and brown and Asian American people. I only mention their race because people like Gavin Newsom pride themselves on caring about people like that. And then I hear from women who are telling me, finally, I'm going to be able to have a choice. I can take my kid out of an underperforming government school and put him into a private school or a charter school or a private school or homeschooling. This is the kind of stuff that I'm hearing. And Dennis, I never, ever imagined that there would be this kind of reception to my entering this race.
I know you didn't. Well, because you're not an arrogant man to begin with. So I have no doubt that this has taken you by surprise and well-deserved, by the way. The smear campaign against you, which is something I am used to reading about anybody who is an effective conservative. I'll give an example, aside from, you know, the blackface of white supremacy, which should have rendered the author fired by the Los Angeles Times. But an example, I think, I don't know if it was the New York Times or wherever, that you don't believe there is racism in America.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, I've never said anything
like that. Of course not. Of course not.
Is what I've challenged is this business about whether there's systemic racism.
Right.
The idea that the police are pulling black people over and using deadly force against black people just because they're black, that's been the after study. It's nonsense. It's what the left does to divide America, to scare black people, because they've convinced a large number of black people, Dennis, that social justice is the primary issue in America, not quality of schools, not crime, not whether or not you're able to get a job. And so they do this because they want to try and get that monolithic black vote without which they cannot survive at the presidential level.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. What do you feel the reaction among blacks is in California?
Well, you know, a lot of blacks have been indoctrinated that anybody black that has an R at the end of his name is a sellout, is an Uncle Tom. And I've talked to black reporters, and I said, are you happy about the fact that 75% of black boys in our government schools cannot read at state levels of proficiency, and the math scores are even worse? Are you happy about the crime? Crime up dramatically in Los Angeles, where you and I live, Dennis. It's up 41%, and I'm talking about shootings and homicides. And are you happy about the fact that half of all the murder victims in America are black, and they're almost always killed by other black people? Are you happy about all of this? Are you happy about the breakdown of the black family to the point where 70% of black children enter the world without a father married to the mother? Are you happy about all these kinds of things? These are the kinds of things I'm talking about. These are the kinds of things we ought to be addressing. And I'm a sellout. I'm an Uncle Tom. I'm the black face of white supremacy. I say, connect the dots. You're being manipulated. You're being used. You're being betrayed.
God bless you. Did you happen to see the Washington Post, so to speak, fact check on you?
The Washington Post about?
Fact check. Their fact checker at the Washington Post.
No, I didn't see it.
Okay. Well, I might be reading more about you than you are. I mean, it may well be the case. And they gave you four Pinocchios. I read the entire piece. It is the liar, not you. You say 70% of black kids do not enter the world with a married mother and father, correct?
Correct.
So they said that's a lie. And their data had nothing to do with what you claimed. I'd love you to see it. It will give you an example of how the Washington Post manipulates truth in the name of fact-checking.
Well, Dennis, again, I'm used to this. Let me give you another one.
All right, hold on. I want you to give me another one, Larry, but I got to... You have a background in radio. So you could sympathize.
The Dennis Prager Show.
There's a reason Gun Owners of America is known as the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. From lobbying in the halls of Congress and the executive branch to battling in the courts, wherever your Second Amendment rights are being infringed, GOA and their grassroots army are there. GOA has never compromised on the Second Amendment in its 45-year history. GOA's mission is simple: to protect, defend, and restore the Second Amendment. GOA has a special offer for my listeners and a free gift. It's up to us to protect the Second Amendment. Please visit gunowners.org, gunowners.org/Prager to join in this important battle for liberty. That's gunowners.org/Prager.
Well, with Larry Elder, and I was telling him about the Washington Post series of lies about him in their supposed fact checker. The Washington Post desecrates the word journalism. So, Larry, you were going to give me an example when we have to take a break.
Yeah, speaking of journalism, you know, Dennis, one of the many allegations made against me is that I dislike women because of an article that I wrote 21 years ago where I was quoting a study by the Annenberg School of Journalism, and I was quoting a left-wing professor. And there was an allegation made against me that I denied that I engaged in domestic violence. But stories ran with it. The Political ran with it. CNN ran with it. There was headlines for several days. Now, just yesterday, Dennis, Rose McGowan, the actress who says her career was destroyed because she refused to sleep with Harvey Weinstein and is largely responsible for why Harvey Weinstein is facing several rape charges, just yesterday she said that Gavin Newsom's wife called her 6 months before the story blew up on behalf of Harvey Weinstein's lawyer and said, "How can we make this story go away?" Now, Dennis, I don't know whether it's true or false, but you know my girlfriend, Nina. Imagine if somebody alleged that Nina called Rose McGowan 6 months before the Harvey Weinstein blew up, called on behalf of Harvey Weinstein's lawyer, and said, quote, "How can we make this story go away?" It'd be the front page everywhere. It'd be on Politico. It would be on CNN. And we know Politico has the story. They've written not one word about it. The only outlet that's written about this is Real Clear Politics. Now, again, I'm not sure whether or not it's true, but it would be a bombshell if true. If Gavin Newsom's wife called Rose McGowan 6 months before this story blew up on behalf of Harvey Weinstein's lawyer and said, "How can we make this story go away?" That's all they'd be talking about. That's all I would be talking about between now and the election day, Dennis. But a tree fell in the forest and didn't make a sound. This is the kind of double standard that I've been putting up with ever since I've been running.
By the way, your comments... Again, I follow it all. Your comments about women, as you point out, you were citing a study that women on a knowledge test of current affairs knew less on average than men. Now,
correct.
So for that, you have been attacked as a misogynist, which
right.
is evil. The attack is vile. Listen to this. Again, I have more time to do research than you, who are constantly on the road. Governor Newsom, this is from Red State yesterday. Governor Newsom recently gave a virtue signaling speech in which he lavished praise on women for being better than men at everything. Quote, "Women are smarter in politics, smarter in civics, they're smarter in economics, women rule." Now, I don't care if he says that, but why isn't he a male hater? What if a man had said, or a woman, "Men are smarter in politics, smarter in civics, smarter in economics, men rule"? That would be the end of the person's career. So you can say anything about men and nothing about women.
Well, it's also condescending. I mean, the average IQ of a man is 100. The average IQ of a woman is 100. He's pandering. He's pushing the narrative that Larry hates women. On the other hand, "I love women. I adore women," says Gavin Newsom. "In fact, I think women are superior to men." Why shouldn't he resign then and appoint a female to take his job? I'll give you another double standard, Dennis. Front page article in the New York Times, all about me, all of it is negative. Never once mentioning my race, never once mentioning that I would be the first black governor of California. Now, Dennis, you know me, I've never made a big deal out of this. I've no one people to vote for me because I'm black or against me because I'm black. And frankly, after we've had a black president, as far as I'm concerned, everything else is anticlimactic. But on the very same newspaper, front page, across the page, is a big article about, quote, the first female governor of New York. a woman who became governor only because Cuomo resigned. She didn't even run and get elected. But that was a big deal because she had a D at the end of her name. I have an R at the end of my name, and I'm no longer black.
That's exactly right. So, you know, I like the big questions. So your experience with the media, has that confirmed what you believed prior, or have you learned anything new?
No, it just confirmed it. I knew it was going to be nasty. I knew it was going to be vicious. And the degree of viciousness corresponds with how effective I am as a politician and the likelihood that I'm going to win. And I knew that once I scared them, once I break this tie that they have over black and brown voters, largely because of the issue of school choice, I knew they were going to come at me with a vengeance. So nothing has surprised me, absolutely nothing. And people have asked me, do I regret running? Not one moment, Dennis, not one moment. I believe I can do something about the crime. I can do something about homelessness. I can do something about the decline of the quality of education. I can do better forest management. I can stop these rolling brownouts. I believe I have ideas, and I've met experts up and down the state who I'm going to appoint in powerful positions, and I'm going to turn this state around, and it's every bit worth it.
Bless your soul. So I want to remind everybody in California that we have until Tuesday to vote on the recall. That's the key, because everybody knows that if Gavin Newsom is recalled, Larry Elder would be governor. So the key is to vote yes on the recall. It is one of the most important votes in modern American history. And what about helping you out financially? Is it still important?
Oh, still very important. He's raised about $75 million. Most people believe he's going to spend about $100 million from the usual suspects, the teachers' unions, the public sector unions, Hollywood and big tech. And Barack Obama just cut a commercial for him. Bernie Sanders cut a commercial for him. Senator Warren did. And Dennis, notice in any of those commercials, you never heard the following words. Gavin Newsom has done a good job
right.
for the people of California.
Exactly, right.
Never heard that.
Yes.
You hear it's a takeover, but you've never heard Gavin Newsom has done a good job for the people of California. So please go to electelder.com. Throw a little something in the tip jar. Let's try and make this a fair fight.
That's also up. Electelder.com is also connected to DennisPrager.com, so you can easily access it. Larry, I can't tell you, I know you'll take this right. I'm so proud of you. You have no idea. You're a prince.
Well, Dennis, thank you for that. And, you know, without your support and pressure, there's a good chance I wouldn't be doing this. But God bless you, Dennis. You first approached me and asked me to run, and, you know, I said no. You were persistent, as were others, and you convinced me that I can turn this state around, and I intend to do just that.
God willing.
The Dennis Prager Show, live from the Relief Factor pain-free studio.
Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Steve in Newport Beach, California. Hello.
Hey, Dennis, how you doing?
Well, thank you.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. So I have a couple questions here for you. The premise of my call is I'm currently reading your book, The Rational Bible, the book of Genesis, which I find to just be absolutely fascinating. I'm a born and still practicing Presbyterian, but reading this book has just been a complete eye-opener. Just shows you how much you don't know. So, listening to your article that you're reading this morning about Israel and the vaccinations, it dawned on me, as it has before, like, why is it that Israel is so terrified of the coronavirus, and Israel being a Jewish country, and you being who you are, I just figured the best person to ask would be you. Why are Jews so terrified of this coronavirus?
Why are Jews? Is that what
you
said?
Like, yeah, why
okay,
is Israel,
yeah, no,
like
no, no, fine. Okay, it's a fair question. I asked the same question when Israel went over the top under Netanyahu and then under Bennett. My theory was that it's a residue of the Holocaust, that the idea of a large number of Jews dying again just hit Israelis in a very sensitive nerve center. And I don't think that's the only reason. I'm not sure it's even accurate, but that was my first reaction. Another one is Jews are very well-educated. Well-educated people are more scared than less well-educated people. Well-educated people worship experts, truly worship them. And nobody worships doctors more than Jews. I mean, there's an old joke. Mr. and Mrs. Ira Goldman are proud to announce the birth of their son, Dr. David Goldman. Why was that a joke? Jokes tell truths. The preoccupation with doctors is a big factor in Jewish life. Unfortunately, however, excessive fear is not a monopoly of the Jews. Most churches didn't open and march to the beat of the secular drummer. And, of course, vast numbers of secular people generally. And look at Australia. People have accepted totalitarianism, and they're not Jewish.
The Dennis Prager Show, live from the Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio.